Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chicago's Legal Latte, a series of podcasts brought to you by Lavelle Law Limited. Throughout this series, the attorneys from Lavelle Law will share their answers to questions about a variety of topics for individuals and small businesses. To participate in today's discussion, you can email us at podcast@lavellelaw.com.
And good afternoon and welcome to this special edition of Chicago's Legal Latte. Just yesterday, I had a great conversation with attorney Christina Regal during our usual Tuesday 4 o'clock Central time slot. But some current news has prompted us to reconvene with a couple of Christina's colleagues for an additional conversation this week. Hi, everybody. This is Jim Mitchell. And today I'll be joined by several of the attorneys at Lavelle Law Limited as we discuss a bit of news regarding what I think you may consider to be some at least unethical, if not outright illegal behavior impacting businesses here in Illinois. We'll discuss that activity with Attorney Jim Voigt and then also take a broader look at situations like this with Attorney Cameron Monty. Both men are on the line. So good afternoon, Jim and Cameron. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
So, Jim, let's start with you. Over the last week, this kind of started when you received calls from a number of clients about something they received in the mail, which kind of set off some alarms for you. Can you kind of recap the situation for us?
Sure. In a span of just a couple of hours on Monday morning, I received over a dozen phone calls from clients that are part of our corporate compliance system saying that they'd received a mailing from the state of Illinois stating that they had to fill out their shareholder, director, and officer information and submit it back to the state with a check for $125. That struck me as very odd because that is not information that the state normally maintains. They do maintain information on officers and directors, but the state does not maintain any information on shareholders. And it was also asking for email contact information and credit card information, which was, of course, unusual as well. So I had asked a few of those clients if they could please send the form in to me, and I was able to get a look at it. And what this is a very official-looking form that really does look like something that would be sent from the state of Illinois. But it's actually sent by a company by the name of Corporate Records Service. They are not a corporation registered to do business in Illinois, but they're saying here that they've got an office there in Springfield. And it essentially is what it really is an advertisement offering to prepare minutes. Now, you know, minutes are required. You and I have talked about this a lot of times on these podcasts. Minutes are required, but it's not something that you ever send to the state of Illinois. And the format here that this has been prepared would look to be intentionally deceptive, and it certainly is effective in making clients think that this is something they have to fill out and send back into the state and that the fees here are some sort of state fee. So that's what was sent out in the mail.
Yeah, let's talk about the real requirements just so people are aware again, you know, regarding annual minutes, annual report. What would normally a company have to do to be compliant?
Well, what you have to do in order to maintain your corporate status is file what's called a domestic corporation annual report. That is something that gets filed with the state, but that is not what was sent out in the mail in terms of what we're talking about here today. In addition to that, though, a purely internal document, every corporation is required to maintain minutes. And these are just basically notes that are taken during the annual meeting of shareholders and the annual meeting of directors. So those minutes are required by law. They are never sent to the state of Illinois. It's something that's maintained purely as an internal document. Companies can either maintain these minutes on their own. Just as a convenience, our office does, you know, provide a service that produces these minutes. A lot of attorneys' offices do. But it is not something that ever gets filed with the state of Illinois. It is still a legal requirement, though.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the return address on this envelope, as a business owner, I received one, does have a Springfield address and, you know, big letters on the front that say annual minutes requirements statement. So certainly the type of document that someone would open and take a look at. Now, you mentioned the words misleading. You know, we questioned in the open how ethical this behavior is. Is this being investigated in any way here in Illinois?
It is. Actually, the Illinois Secretary of State Police, which is a police force that most people don't even realize exists, but the Illinois Secretary of State Police are currently investigating this to see if any criminal conduct has taken place. And they've issued a press release that actually goes right out and says that they're referring to it as, quote, a bogus firm is sending out what looks similar to our Secretary of State's annual report form. And they're actually referring to it in their press release as a scam. So they've definitely locked onto this, and they're investigating it. I don't know the exact nature of what criminal activity they're investigating. It may be, you know, an illegal access of the Illinois Secretary of State records through their website. I'm not sure, but they're definitely keying in on this as something that they're calling a scam.
So as this appears to be going very broadly throughout throughout Illinois at the moment, and we actually saw some reports online at ripoffreport.com about complaints in Florida and other states for the same type of document. If someone receives this, should they be reporting it to the Secretary of State, or just at this point shred it and be done with it? Don't worry about it. Just don't answer it.
Yeah, there's no need to report it to the Secretary of State. They're aware of it. The right thing to do is to just shred it and discard it. The actual press release from the Secretary of State is advising people not to respond to this mailing in any way. I have not heard any specific stories that they're just taking your money and running with it. I don't have any of that information, but something is keying the Secretary of State to say this is something you should not respond to.
Okay. We're running a special edition of our podcast today focusing on marketing materials and communications that are certainly misleading at the very least. I'm joined by attorneys Jim Voigt and Cameron Monty as we discuss the impact of area businesses. One quick thing there, Jim, before we move on to Cameron here, is you mentioned something. How would a marketer like this, or whatever we want to call a corporate record service, how would they have gotten a list of businesses?
There's that may be the crux of the criminal investigation. It is. From a technology standpoint, it's possible to log into the Secretary of State's website and create a software program that would just what's called troll information from that website and put together a mailing list that way. So even though that's technologically possible, it's illegal. It states directly on the Illinois Secretary of State website that it's illegal to do so. So if they may have done that. They may have created that program to gather this information. You know, the mailing information on this form is of public record. So they somehow got that from the Secretary of State. There are also services that you can use that you can purchase this information directly from the state or from the service that interacts with the state.
So no indication anywhere that anybody's information was hacked in any way. There's nothing to indicate any security issues for your clients or other clients of other businesses out there.
Correct. There's no private attorney's office that appears to have been hacked here. And even if the Secretary of State's information was hacked, it's all public record anyway. They don't want you accessing it the way that this may have happened, but it's public information anyway, so there wouldn't be any private information that was disclosed even if it was a hack.
Okay. Now, your prompt response to the letter and the actions by Lavelle Law to try and get communication out to the general public here is reminiscent of what we went through a few years ago regarding some advertising campaigns regarding so-called tax relief firms. Cameron, you were very involved in that response. Can you kind of provide us with a reminder of what those companies were doing at that time?
Sure. The tax relief firms often have commercials on television, radio ads, and direct mail solicitations offering services to help with tax debts and resolutions of those tax debts. A common, you know, buzz theme was, you know, settling for pennies on the dollar and abatement of penalties and interest. Unfortunately, there are a number of these so-called tax relief firms that really did not have the best interest of taxpayers in mind when they were, you know, trying to attract a clientele. They would often make, promises and representations of outcomes that truly, you know, could not be obtained. Oftentimes, it's our understanding that people would call in to these firms and, give them an example. You know, I have a $50,000 federal income tax debt. The person on the phone says, "Well, we, you know, send us a retainer for anywhere between, $5,000 to I've seen as high as $20,000, with the reassurance that they can settle it for virtually a very small percentage of the total debt." And unfortunately, the way that the IRS procedures work is, you know, there's a lot of information that you need in order to come to the conclusion of whether someone can settle a debt. And oftentimes when these people are speaking over the phone with the prospective client or taxpayer, they don't ask any of those questions. So really there's no way that that person over the phone can make that conclusion whether or not this person really could qualify for this offer or settlement program that the IRS offers. So in many cases, there's been a few actually noteworthy firms out there. For example, you may have heard of J.K. Harris or American Tax Relief, and even Ronnie Deutsch, which have been sued by state's attorneys general's offices, the Federal Trade Commission, for deceptive practices, and a few of them have been forced out of business as a result, and forced to in order to pay restitution back to the clients. So it's one of those things you have to be very careful.
Yeah, and there are still operators like that out there, though, despite the efforts of the various investigations over the last couple of years. Correct?
That's correct. Unfortunately, it's one of those things where, you know, in virtually every industry and profession, there's a few bad apples out there, and you just have to be cognizant of what to kind of look for when you're looking for representation to help you with your tax problem.
All right, I'm going to kind of open this up to either or both of you, and we've only got a couple minutes left. But, you know, in a sense of fairness here, there are certainly many marketing tactics that are designed to get people's attention, to get them to open an envelope or make a phone call to perhaps respond to some service. You know, many of us use that in various businesses to try and be as aggressive as possible to get a response to a marketing campaign. Where do you draw the line between aggressive advertising and unethical behavior in terms of what an advertiser might use in some of these pieces?
Well, in Illinois, and I think in most states, attorneys at least have a very strict set of guidelines that we have to follow when we advertise. But to be honest with you, I think, you know, from a best practices standpoint, you don't want to necessarily just lower yourself to the absolute minimum of those black letter standards. You know, in my opinion, I guess to answer your question is, one, you know, make it very obvious that this is an advertisement. If you have a service that you believe in and you provide that service at a good value, there's nothing wrong with sending somebody some information in the mail that offers that service to them. But there's no need to disguise that as something other than what it is, which is a solicitation for somebody to purchase your service from you. So that would be the first thing. And then I think, you know, to go along with what Cameron was saying is, you know, only promise what you can deliver. And, you know, in the tax case, what you can deliver is an honest analysis of their tax situation to see what you can do to help them. You can't promise that you're going to deliver pennies on the dollar or something like that. So I think, you know, being honest about the fact that you are offering an advertisement, and also, too, being honest about what you're actually able to do for the client or the prospective client is two guidelines that I think you really have to follow.
Yeah, and let me kind of piggyback on that. It's especially when it comes to seeking representation for your tax problem. I guess the old adage, if it seems too good to be true, you know, think twice and do a little bit of background check on who you're looking to hire and whether the company or the firm or the law firm is reputable, has a good history. You know, thank goodness for the access of internet and all the information out there. You usually can you know, simply Google a name and you can find out whether there's been some, you know, bad feedback or any type of investigations on the company. So, you know, we always welcome our clients when they come in our office to Google our firm, find out the other mailers that they may receive, do a little due diligence and make sure you're making an informed decision and know who you're really hiring.
Okay, well, great advice really across the board here, and we certainly want to give our thanks to Cameron and Jim for making time to join us today. Again, we kind of brought this up as a what looked like a pretty critical and timely issue, so we thank them for being with us. If you have any questions along these lines, you can certainly reach these gentlemen or their colleagues at Lavelle Law at 847-705-7555, or as Cameron just said, find out more about them at lavellelaw.com. Plenty of information out there, and we appreciate them sharing it with us today. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Chicago's Legal Latte. If you have any questions or topics for a future episode, please call Lavelle Law Limited at 847-705-7555. 705-7555 or email us at podcast@lavellelaw.com.